Live from the Rocky Mountains, this is Redacted. Welcome in, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores. We are going to be looking, of course, at what is happening. America heading towards a civil war. Hundreds of NGO groups funding these protests all ahead of this big June 14th No Kings protest. We're talking Atlanta, New York, Denver, Colorado,
Chicago.
The laundry list is growing by the minute now with these protests and all being funded and organized by a number of NGOs. We'll talk about that.
We're also going to talk about Ukraine because the Pentagon is now saying we're not going to send you quite so many weapons. That doesn't mean no weapons. That just means not quite so many. Is this really the peace overture that we've been looking for? Same with Israel. President Trump apparently telling Netanyahu, stop the war in Gaza for good. And Netanyahu saying, I don't think I will. This is like a choose your own adventure novel that we've been through for the last year and a half. Are we all going to die, Clayton, or not? I don't know.
Well, every week it seems to change. The flip-flopping back and forth, we hear that President Trump is putting his foot down on Netanyahu, and then Netanyahu says, okay, I hear you, but then he defies him. He's trying to hold on to power right now, and he's in a wildly tenuous position right now. So we're going to talk about all of that, plus the CDC.
The mainstream media is telling you, yes, the vaccines all had placebo trials. That's a sleight-of-hand trick. I'm going to show you exactly what that means, and you're going to be mad as snakes because they've been lying to you. It's almost, Clayton, almost as if CNN cares more about the vaccine makers than the people who take them and read CNN. That's silly, right? That's silly conjecture.
When all of their shows are brought to you by Pfizer.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Pfizer and Anderson Cooper 360 brought to you by Pfizer. It's a wonder that they actually care more about the big pharma than they do the American people.
Right. Shocking. I'm going to give you the deets. You're going to be mad. We're not going to be upset that RFK Jr. has cleaned house at the CDC. No.
But first, before we get to all of that news, and J.J. Carroll is going to join us here in moments, I want to tell you about our friends over at Bearskin. So Bearskin sent me these incredible hoodie and rain jacket combo. And because we actually had snow just a short time ago and be able to take the dog on a walk, and then we had like a monsoon over the past week, nonstop rain. Here is their hoodie. They make one of the best outdoor get-ups and setups that I've ever had. It's a little hard for me to put it on right now in the studio because it's also 80 degrees out right now, so I'm going to sweat. But it's a fleece that has over 10 pockets, super, super comfortable. And then over top of that, once you get the actual hoodie on top, you can throw their incredible rain jacket right over top. So maybe it's a little... Here's their rain jacket that I absolutely love from Bearskin. This thing is awesome. And you just throw this right over top of the hoodie, and then you are good to go outside. So you can take it on or take it off, or not even wear the hoodie, just wear the actual tactical rain jacket when you're outside. So if it rains, just zip on the rain jacket. Boom, rain, wind, cold, no problem. And when you order Bearskin's hoodies or rain jacket combo, you're going to get free U.S. shipping, fast delivery from the United States. I'm telling you, perfect for Father's Day. These things are awesome. Just go to their website, and you can get 60% off. 60% off right now. Just text the word redacted to 36912. 36912 right there on your screen. Text the word redacted. Even if you're busy right now, just write it down. Just write it down. Do it later. Text the word redacted to 36912. They'll send you a link to lock in your discount for later. You got 10 pockets in this thing. It's really fantastic. You can do anything outdoors. Just text me. You want to go fly fishing, want to go on a hike, want to keep your phone, keep your knife, keep your wallet, keep other things safe and sound. Text redacted to 36912 and gear up with Bearskin. Our friends over at Bearskin, thank you for that. It is hot outside. I just took the dog on a walk and it's like 82 degrees.
Mm-hmm,
but then
finally. Like
last week we got snow. So it's like, and then we had this like crazy monsoon with nonstop rain. So nonstop mud. So yeah.
And yet my hair is not frizzy. How did I do it?
I don't know.
You're wondering the same thing, I know.
All right, let's get to the news, shall we? Well, this is a story that is shocking to the core. So last year, we reported here on the show, and by the way, no one in the mainstream media covered this story at all, zero. Not even the independent media covered this story at all, showing how Ukraine was refusing to pay the pensions of the fallen soldiers to their loved ones. Soldiers killed in action were labeled as missing so that the mothers and fathers who lost their sons wouldn't receive any of the death benefits. And then, of course, we showed you the protests and the moms on camera complaining about this, crying, asking for them to tell them information about their son. he's not really missing, is he? We know that he's dead. He's been killed, but you're labeling him as missing. Can you imagine a government so corrupt? That is the country of Ukraine, one of the most corrupt governments in the world. Their bodies dumped in mass graves. So the Ukrainians were dumped their own soldiers' bodies in mass graves, hidden, but then the government would label them as missing. This is true. And then, of course, missing means the families receive no money. And worse than the money, because money is one thing, they never get to visit the gravesite. They never get to honor their son. They never get to lay them to rest because Ukraine lied to them. Well, so this story hit a few days ago. And of course, you know, immediately people are like, oh, this is propaganda. This is Russian propaganda. Russia says it has been ready to hand over thousands of Ukrainian dead bodies that they'd gathered up from the field, kept in frozen containers so that they would preserve, so that the Ukrainians could then bury them themselves. They have tens of thousands of dead bodies, Ukrainian soldier bodies. Russia went to gather them up because Ukraine won't. And they put them in body bags, labeled them, kept them in frozen storage so Ukraine could bring them back and give them a proper burial so mothers could bury their sons. It's not pretty. This is war. And what did Ukraine's Zelensky government do? They just walked away from the dead, literally walked away from the dead, left their own soldiers dead in refrigerated trucks. This isn't propaganda. This isn't Russian spin. It's real. And it's now confirmed by Ukraine's own coordination headquarters for treatment of prisoners of war. So Ukraine has now confirmed it. Here's Ukraine. Today's statements by the Russian side do not correspond to reality and previous agreements, neither regarding the exchange of prisoners nor regarding the repatriation of bodies. Over the past week, teams from both sides have been working in two directions, repatriation of bodies, fallen servicemen, and exchange of prisoners. Regarding the exchange of prisoners, Ukraine had submitted lists for exchange. So basically, Ukraine is saying that, yes, this is true, but you didn't adhere to our lists. Like, we gave you lists, and you didn't adhere to it. So yes, you provided all these dead Ukrainian bodies back, but you didn't follow our algorithms. They did confirm that an agreement had, in fact, been reached for the repatriation of dead bodies. But because Russia had allegedly acted unilaterally, didn't follow Ukraine's preferred algorithm, Ukraine basically walked away from the deal. So what happens when your government ghosts the process? This is what happens. This. Piles of Ukrainian soldiers frozen. Abandoned.
Most of them stolen off the streets, not voluntarily enlisted.
Oh, yeah, that's another good point. These are kidnapped Ukrainians. Yeah, conscripted. Exactly. Left to freeze. I mean, just look at these. These are the conscripted soldiers being gathered up and carried. So families left in limbo. Mothers left to wonder right now if their sons are among the unclaimed dead or labeled as missing by Ukraine's corrupt government. I mean, I can't believe it, honestly. What government signs an agreement to bring back its fallen heroes and then complains about the format of the Excel spreadsheet and refuses to follow through on it. Ukraine says it was Russia's fault for acting outside the joint process. Sorry, but nobody cares about your bureaucratic bullshit when there are thousands of dead kids lying in trucks on the side of the road in a meat locker, essentially. But don't take our word for it. Ukraine's own post says the deal was made. They admit the bodies should have come home. But instead of honoring the dead, they accuse Russia of manipulation and using humanitarian... This is their quote, using humanitarian topics for political purposes. How exactly is Russia manipulating Ukraine here? Like, here's your war dead. They're already dead. Like, we already beat you on the battlefield. Like, here, take them back. Give them to the moms, you know, so you can bury them. It's not political to want your dead son back. The only way I could see this being manipulation, honestly, is that if it forces Ukraine to not label these dead soldiers as missing, right? Because otherwise, they probably labeled them as missing beforehand. Now they're sort of being forced to say, oh, okay, we actually have them back now. We have to admit to the mom and dad that, in fact, they were killed in the line of duty, and now we have to pay them death benefits. So it's a, but that's a stretch. I don't buy that. Russia, for their part, says they're still trying to hand over the bodies, but they're waiting for Ukraine to take them. But Ukraine walked away. So these bodies still awaiting transportation. They're sitting in refrigerated trucks by the thousands until Ukraine does something about it.
Well, the next round of peace talks between the United States and Ukraine will be in Moscow. The Russian press has called it a talk to discuss eliminating irritants, which I think means Ukraine. Like, basically, this is now our shared problem, is this mosquito problem that we have created, which is this thug of a government, which is Ukraine. Not the Ukrainian people, clearly the Ukrainian government. Well, now the U.S. is saying that it will reduce military aid to Ukraine in upcoming budgets. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said that he didn't say stop. Listen for the words that he used. He used reduce. He said it's a reduction in this budget. This administration takes a very different view of that conflict. A negotiated peaceful settlement is in the best interest of both parties and our nation's interests, especially with all the competing interests around the globe. That's what he said on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, Congress, specifically the neocons in Congress, started freaking out. Clayton, if I just gave you a like, who's the most war-loving Republican? No, I'm not going to give you that. Let's pretend I didn't give you that clue.
Okay.
Who's the most war-loving senator in Congress right now?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's close between a few of them, but I would definitely lean on Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham gets the Miss America title for War Lover of the Year. Absolutely. I want to give him a sash. I want to give him flowers and a crown. He loves it. He loves death.
And he would love high heels, too. So
I'm sure he would. So here is him absolutely freaking out that we may not arm Ukraine anymore. Watch.
Is Putin going to stop in Ukraine?
I don't believe he is, sir. I think he'll
What do you think, Secretary? Is he going to stop?
Remains to be seen, Senator.
Well, he says he's not. You know, this is the 30s all over. It doesn't remain to be seen. He tells everybody around what he wants to do. Are you familiar with his military buildup in terms of armaments?
All right. Okay,
it's well beyond what
he really thinks. I told you, like, so clear. I just want to know, when did Putin say he wasn't going to stop at the border of Ukraine? It's worth remembering that Putin didn't authorize this war. Russian parliament did. He's making this up. It's another word for lying. And in fact, because we've been following this all along, Russian state media clearly defines the borders of this war. It has since the beginning. What you're looking at here is the red area that Russia has taken over from Ukraine since 2022. The dark gray is where they have said they will keep going until they reach. That's their definition of where they will stop. It's not hard, Lindsey Graham. That's not hard. So he's asking, where will it stop? Well, Russia's told us so. Are you looking? Do you care? The area in red voted to become Ukraine. The area up to the dark gray is where Ukraine has been attacking since 2014. And again, I want to point your attention to the dots. The red dots are where the Russian army is. And the blue dots are where the Ukrainian army is. What the heck is the Ukrainian army doing where at the top there, where the war is not? Why are we arming them to not be in war? I'm just wondering.
Yeah, to attack Kursk, Belgorod, yeah. All of those other areas have nothing to do with it.
That's kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so why are they there? So they're lying to keep the war going. They assume you don't know any better, but you do because you study. Otherwise, you wouldn't come to Redacted. And according to the Associated Press, the U.S. has provided Ukraine more than $66 billion in aid since February of 2022. That figure is only direct aid packages voted on by Congress. It does not at all include the defense bills that Clayton has dug up. We've shown you that on Redacted. That puts that real number much, much higher than $66 billion. So do you think the people who have profited from this war will allow it to stop? Probably not. That's why Secretary Hegseth has said reduction, not end, right? Meanwhile, Ukraine is already low on weapons. And if you think Europe is going to step in and pick up the slack, you're on glue. That's not going to happen. They don't have it. Will this push Ukrainian President Zelensky to a peace deal? Who knows? That fool is illogical. It depends how much he's had.
I mean, he won't even pick up his own bodies. So all these Ukrainian soldiers that were killed in Russian-controlled territory, which is now part of Russia, or even areas that are Russian-controlled, like, you have all the bodies there. Return the bodies, and Zelensky won't even pick up his own war dead.
Right. So at the very least, this, let's reduce the guns and weapons and lethal, you know, material, it's at least a strategic shift signaling to Russia that, you know, it's not really very genuine of us to call for peace with one side and then arm the other side with deadly weapons. That's not a winning diplomatic strategy. We've seen that play out. So there we go.
All right, we got more news to get to. We're going to look at these NGOs launching the civil war. That is the argument that is happening with all of these NGOs popping up with different protests across the country. Are we heading for a civil war? Is this all part of a plan? As one of our Brad Gilbert in our chat, just thank you for your $10 Canadian super chats. As USAID under neocon narcos, rioters knew where ICE raids would happen. Los Angeles uses Gotham, Loomer-proof Palantir pushing for CCP surveillance, 15-minute cities where no king's protests are. Trump equals a Trojan horse. So we'll see about that. Is that what's really going to, we're pushing for full biometrics, like this idea of Trump doubling down and quadrupling down on ICE raids is all in an effort to move us towards a biosurveillance state? Hey, that's an interesting take. But right now, you can't argue with the fact that cities across the United States are burning and protests are taking hold across America, from Chicago to Denver to Houston to Miami to New York to Austin to Los Angeles. So we're going to talk about that in a moment.
But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at IQ Bar, which is our exclusive snack sponsor. IQ Bar is the better for you plant protein-based snack made with brain-boosting nutrients to refuel, refresh, and satisfy your hunger without the sugar crash. They also make these drink supplements, which I pack for my son a lot because I think I've told you he's a migrainer. So it's a really great way to have a quick fix of electrolytes. So it's either the bars or the electrolyte packs that we keep on us at all times just to make sure that he's never low on electrolytes. And these are they have a really delicious selection of both the bars and the electrolyte packs, and something for everybody. They have mint chocolate chip, chocolate sea salt, banana nut, toasted coconut chip, lemon blueberry, peanut butter chip. With over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting, more people than ever are starting their day with IQ Bars brain and body boosting bars, hydration mixes, and mushroom coffees. And again, especially during these crazy summer months when I'm trying to work on the show, work on the newsletter, and carpool my kids to live their best life, to camps and play dates and all of that stuff. We do keep this right by the garage door and just grab them on the way out. So check them out for yourself. If you text redacted to 64,000, that's 64,000, you can get 20% off plus free shipping.
That's better than you can get. They're at Costco, by the way. And it's actually, if you do that, it's cheaper than picking them up at Costco.
Oh, I didn't know that. You would know that because Clayton studies acutely the shelves at Costco, and he always knows what's...
Exactly.
I can go to Costco, go for what I came for, and leave. And Clayton's like, no, I have completion issues. I have to see everything that's new.
Yeah.
So Clayton knows that these are at Costco, but you can get a better deal by texting redacted to 64,000 for 20% off plus free shipping.
Yeah, someone's asking about the chocolate sea salt. Yeah, exactly. It's delicious. All
right. Yeah, it's quite nice.
All right, let's talk about something that's not delicious and not exciting, but we need to talk about it. President Trump just announced he's quadrupling the amount of ICE raids across the United States, four timesing it, yes. He's going to, on the offensive. Meanwhile, California's anti-law riots are no longer confined to just the Golden State. They're now spreading coast to coast. Chicago, Seattle, Atlanta, San Francisco, Denver, Portland, New York, Austin, Texas, and more. I'm sure I'm missing a few, because this has been happening over the past 24 hours. Meanwhile, a group called No Kings, planning nationwide riots against the Trump administration on January 14th. I'm sure they'll say there'll be peaceful protests, nothing to see here. It's supposed to coincide with Flag Day, the 250th birthday of the U.S. Army, and a military parade in Washington, D.C., and President Trump's birthday. The NGOs are spread out all over the country. Look at the different areas where they've organized these different protests in the coming weeks. Look at that. So you think this is just like organic, just popping up? This is a stunning map when you look at it. Overnight, the head of Mexico's Senate, the narco cartel-run Mexican government, now says they will annex the southern part of the United States and return Mexico's border to the 1830s map of Mexico. You think this guy's joking? Watch.
Yo estuve en la Torre Trump cuando decía el presidente electo Donald Trump estaba 16 días de tomar protesta por primera vez como presidente, asumir el cargo. Y yo dije, si hacemos el muro, sí lo pagamos, pero lo hacemos con el mapa de México en 1830. Este es lo que era Estados Unidos en 1830. Y esto era parte de México, no era todo México. Si ustedes pueden ver, quizás un tercio, mínimo una cuarta parte del territorio norteamericano era parte de México.
Now, Mexicans are demanding that Americans give back the land. This is what Nick Freitas just posted on Twitter. He said, Mexicans are demanding that Americans give back the land we conquered from the Mexicans, who conquered it from the Spanish, who conquered it from the native tribes, who were constantly conquering each other. So Mexico wants their land back and ready for an invasion.
Have you ever heard of the Mayans? They absolutely did not want to be a part of Mexico and were conquered. So that's rich.
Right.
That's, I mean, you get to say that.
At least we get to keep Louisiana, because that was before 1830, right? So we're good there, right?
Guess.
We still get to keep Louisiana.
Yeah, we got that in the Louisiana Purchase. Back. Maybe the French, maybe Emmanuel Macron and his husband will want that back. So we'll see about that. Meanwhile, President Trump is removed. So if President Trump is removed from power somehow, these guys are ready to invade the United States. Journalist Ryan Mata, just over the border in Mexico just yesterday. This video is from yesterday, not last year. Watch this.
Ryan Mata reporting live from Tapachula, Texas. When you hear people like Christy Noem telling us that the border is closed, and you're taking a look at what I'm showing you guys right here, does this look like the Mexico border's closed? Does this look like the Mexican president is trying to slow down the flow of immigration? America, wake up. There is a tsunami of migrants just over our border, waiting to invade, waiting for President Trump to be removed from office, waiting for this regime change operation to take place so that they can install the next rhino sleazebag sellout. Who's going to open the floodgates and the gates of hell are going to open upon our country? You should pray that President...
And that's the fear, right? That we get a rhino in there, you know, like a Greg Abbott or other individuals who will keep these floodgates open to invade the United States. Colonel...
So then the deportations we're seeing is like, you know, a hole in your boat that you're, shoveling out with a spoon. Isn't there an expression like
But the border is closed, right? The idea is the border is closed. And so now you're quadrupling the number of ICE raids. We're going to talk about more about that in a second. I guess it's like, they're trying to get your boat is sinking, but you're just trying to bucket out a little bit of water.
Yeah.
Colonel McGregor posted this a few minutes ago. Mr. President, it's time to invoke the Insurrection Act. So we want to ask J.J. Carroll, former 24-year veteran of the Customs and Border Protection. He's written an incredible book called Treason. I encourage all of you to go and buy it. It really lays out exactly how the Biden administration's strategic and malicious destruction of America's sovereignty unfolded. He walks through it point by point. He should know he was there serving the United States of America when all this happened. J.J., great to have you back on the show. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me, man. Hired as the United States Border Patrol agent back in 1997, and I was stationed in San Diego. If I went off of that map, the senator from Mexico, I would have had a beautiful, beautiful home in Oregon, because that's where the Border Patrol would be. They would be jumping the border fence into Oregon or Oklahoma. It's absurd what's going on. But you're right. You alluded to this. This is bigger than just Mexican nationals waving their flags and irritating us. This is a coordinated attack, an intentional planned attack to destroy the sovereignty of America. It's spreading across America right now as we speak.
Let's talk tactically.
Okay.
That's something that you would do as a Customs and Border Patrol agent with your team going out and trying to get these individuals. So I don't want to talk like pie in the sky stuff. If you were in charge of these groups, you're saying, President Trump's saying, now we're going to go after four times the amount of ICE raids. We're doubling down on this. Colonel McGregor says, invoke the Insurrection Act right now. What would you be doing in your office with your team and coordinating with ICE to go out and try to stop what's happening right now in the United States? What would you be doing tactically?
The first thing I would have done is never did what they did 3 or 4 days ago, sending 30, 40, 50, 80 ICE agents into the belly of the beast of LA. I would never have done that with no backup. Whoever did that needs to be called on the carpet immediately. Colonel McGregor is absolutely right. Donald Trump, you need to go all in. There are no more half measures. Stop being half-ass about this. You sent in 7,000 National Guard. You need 17,000. You need 20,000. You want to double, quadruple? Well, then you need to assign military to your agent. So if I was in charge and I had a 50-man ICE unit under me, I would demand I need at least 100 to 200 National Guard or Marines assigned to my unit for coverage. Not, you don't send me into these belly of the beast all by myself with no backup. Why would you do that? Because I'm sitting duck.
Do we have the trained personnel to do that? You can't just take a green person off the street and say you're an ICE agent, obviously.
No, see, this is, thank you for asking it, because everyone's like, well, you know, the big, beautiful bill, they're going to go hire ICE agents. Hold on a second. You're not going, if the big, beautiful bill passes, you will not see a new ICE officer for 18 months to 2 years. That's how long. This is best case scenario, guys. Best case to get one, just to get one through the academy, hire process through the academy, train and get on the street. And then he's going to need about 3 years to even understand what the hell is going on. Our government put us in a position that we are vulnerable. I've said this on your show multiple times. We are the most vulnerable we've ever been in America. And that's a great question, Natalie, because the reality is this is all we have. So if this is all we have, people don't understand. We have 50 million illegal aliens in America. You have less than 6,000 ICE officers. Let me repeat that. Less than 6,000 ICE officers. You need about 60,000 to get this job done. So then how are you going to do it? And Clayton, jeez, this is how you do it. You get the military. There's no other way. This is a do or die situation for America right now. You don't understand. The Democrats put a demographic time bomb in the middle of America, and it's already begun to explode. American women don't reproduce at the replacement level. 50 million illegal aliens are reproducing at least five times the natural average of reproduction in America. It's a bad math problem.
So we're going to strategically lose. And tactically, because this is your specialty, when you look at the United States of America right now, I showed a map at the beginning here, I don't know if you saw it, showing how these, yes, NGOs have these coordinated protests across the United States. On top of that, we're also, here's that map again, we also know that ICE agents were tipping off. These groups had been, they knew that these raids were coming. Mm-hmm. So they were being tipped off. So not only are they dealing with having to go and actually carry out the raid, they're also being undermined before they go. So strategically, tactically, you're in the Customs and Border Protection. You have these 100 ICE agents, or you have the U.S. Marines, the National Guard. Like, what exactly are you doing to prevent people from tipping you off, moving in to certain areas? How exactly would you be carrying that out?
I think that you have to move forward believing that the enemy already knows that you're coming. That's how I would frame my tactical operations. I would go in with 50 guys, 100 guys. Let's pick San Diego, for example. I grew up there. I live there. So we're in San Diego. I have to go downtown into the barrio, into National City. Well, I know that I got to go strong because there's about, I'd say, tens of thousands of illegal aliens and supporters of illegal aliens. So I need to go down there heavy and hot. I need to know where my targets are. I'm arresting people immediately. I have my back cover of the military literally having my back, like circling around us and moves as one unit. At the same time, and this is where people don't understand, because they think, well, just arrest them. Well, where am I going to put them? Where am I taking them? I need a mechanism that when I arrest these people, 10, 20, 100, 1,000, I need to have the vehicles ready, stuff them in those vehicles, and then I need a place to go outside of where I'm arresting them. I don't want to sit in the barrios of San Diego or Los Angeles. I want to take those arrestees.
So you're a sitting duck. You'd desert. Be like a sitting duck sitting there. And that's where these protests, yes, are. So you've got like 50 guys. You've made an arrest of 50 people. And then suddenly you have no like armored vehicles to put these individuals in to haul them off to prison or wherever they're going to be held and processed. So you're a sitting duck surrounded by these protesters and rioters.
Well, you're absolutely right. And this goes back to what Colonel Douglas McGregor said, the Insurrection Act. If I'm Tom Homan, one of the things that I do, you ask me, what would I do? Right? It's a big task to say, what do you want to do? Well, if I'm Tom Homan, I'm Donald Trump. He needs a military general that works side by side with him, that does the logistical part, the air flights out of here, the deportation, the movement of illegal aliens in the thousands daily into detention facilities and run them through the court system as quickly as you can to get them deported. There is a whole mechanism that needs to be in place that was not in place. The question I have, and I'm the biggest Tom Homan, Kristi Noem, and Donald Trump fan, where's the planning? Why wasn't this thought out? I don't understand. You had years to get ready for this moment. Years. I would have never done what they're doing now. This is law enforcement 101. Why are we not thinking outside the box instead of doing the same damn thing that we've always done and then be shocked that our adversary knows exactly what we're going to do?
Well, Politico reported this week that we're using Gitmo now because we don't have the beds, we don't have the detention facility, so we're using Guantanamo Bay as sort of a holdover place as these people are on their way to be deported to their home countries. And that makes me very uncomfortable because, of course, we know what Bush and Obama did to innocent people at Guantanamo, and that is purposely designed to operate outside the rule of law. And so, you know, I understand the merits of thinking outside the box, but I don't want to go outside the box that innocent people can be dragnet. So what do you think of that?
I don't have a problem with using Gitmo. That's American territory. So why not use it? Now, if that has that stain on it from the previous administrations, then why can't we build a tent city on the border in Arizona and California and New Mexico and Texas? And before anyone says, well, you can't do that. Well, wait a minute. Obama did that in less than a year, built detention facilities that holds thousands of people. In fact, if you want to know the truth, we're still holding thousands of children in these FEMA-style camps. The border's not closed. And Ryan Matt is absolutely correct. The moment Donald Trump's removed from office, they're going to pour into America. So, Natalie, you say you can't use Guantanamo. So let's say that you and I come to an impasse and we're both politicians. We say, we need to find a middle ground. Okay. I can go down to Arizona right now and I can construct a 10,000 man tent. And then next to that tent, I can throw up a makeshift immigration court. I could cross designate Border Patrol agents to be judges, et cetera. And let's start cranking these things out. And there's C-130 flights because there's multiple military installations in San Diego, in Tucson, outside of Tucson, Sierra Vista, et cetera, et cetera. And we're just flying people out of here and dumping them in their home country. I mean, we have to. That's what I'm saying. Think outside the box. Stop doing the same thing. Okay, let's look at this from a real big picture. I have 6,000 ICE officers. Let's round it to 10,000. I get Border Patrol, FBI, blah, blah, blah. So I get 10,000. If I stay at 1,000 to 1,500 arrests a day, it's going to take us over 100 years to get these people out of our country. 100 years. That's why you see Donald Trump saying, I need a quadruple, which I applaud him. You see Stephen Miller coming and having a rant against immigration law enforcement in a closed door meeting saying, this is unacceptable. It has to at least be tripled every single day. If you want to get us emptied out of these illegal aliens, you have to average between 10 and 15,000 a day. And I don't see the apparatus for it.
Someone in our chat room here, Mike G, I read our chat room. He says, and even when they're critical, Mike G says, this is pathetic. Redacted is playing right into this stupid psychological operation, a PSYOP. So this whole thing, first of all, I don't exactly know, maybe Mike, you can elaborate on that. But Mike, are you saying basically that this entire thing that we're seeing right now with all these riots and illegal immigration raids, the ICE raids and all of this is one big, we're all being played for something. JJ, what do you say to that?
And what could that mean?
Right. What is the operation? We're all being duped so that we need to give up our civil liberties and have a biometric security state so that everything is tracked and we sort of hand our lives over to Palantir. Is that maybe that's the psychological operation? I mean, you worked on the front lines of this. Is this all one big lie?
No, it's not a big lie. It's a big incompetence. We're not doing the job that we need to do. That's just the truth. We're being ineffective. Now, I understand people are afraid or have concerns of the real ID, and I do too. I don't trust the government. Why would anyone trust this government? But let's get into reality. We're already surveilled. We already know. So let's maybe put that on the back burner, because if we don't get these people out of our country, they're going to burn our country to the ground. In fact, they're going to burn our country to the ground this weekend. This is not hypothetical that, hey, you know, into the future, maybe 10 years. No. This Saturday, fires are going to start burning across America. Now we get that control, then I'm all for, hey, hold on a second. Why are we being surveilled? What? Let's strip the Patriot Act, get rid of it. But in order to get rid of the Patriot Act and get rid of those people, we have to get rid of the politicians like Lindsey Graham, Jim Jordan, on and on and on, that have allowed this to continue on. Not the Democrats. Yeah. The Democrats are gutless. They're evil people. And I say that without, that's my belief. But the Republicans are no different. They're like a lesser form of evil because they're complicit in all this.
Yeah.
It is a uniparty. Yeah.
No, this is something we are in agreement here.
The uniparty. J.J. Carroll's book is called Treason. Read it now. Go and you can learn the mechanisms. And by the way, a video just surfaced from Joe Biden from like 15 years ago where he's saying, you know, sanctuary cities are an abomination. And I don't know what happened to him. What clone replaced Joe Biden? But watch that video. It's pretty remarkable. Mike Benz tweeted it out. It's like looking in a time capsule. He's like, if you have a sanctuary city, your city will descend into chaos. It'll turn into a garbage dump. That was Joe Biden. What happened to him?
So prescient of him, huh? Amazing.
Isn't it amazing when you go back in history? Yep. Thank you very much. Always great talking
to
you guys.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah. No, you're great.
Yeah. And Obama's saying the same things. Oh, yeah, go ahead, JJ.
No, just when you see the historical nature, they act as if the internet doesn't exist, and then it pops up, and they become the racist, xenophobe bigots that we all are. It's amazing. Right.
They are all saying this 15 years ago. JJ, great to see you. Thank you so much. I wish you were in charge of this. We'd be in a much better situation. Thanks as always, JJ. Great to see you.
Thank you.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk about, do we support Israel or don't we? This is a fun game of choose your own adventure that the Trump administration is playing with us. Meanwhile, Israel continues to march towards nuclear war. Netanyahu saying, we're doing it. You don't want us to do it, but we're doing it. Who will stop him? Not a damn person is really what we think, but we keep getting these clues that maybe the Trump administration will do it. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about RFK Jr. cleaning house at the CDC. When I show you what the mainstream media is really trying to not show you, you're going to punch a wall. Do it safely. Don't break a bone. We're going to get to that. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Genucel, because summer is here and so are the possibilities for those dark marks, sunspots, blemishes that the sun leaves behind. Until now, Genucel has a dark spot corrector that visibly fades away dark marks, sunspots, and scars, and other signs of discoloration all over your skin. It's formulated with their patented LumaSkin. It has a revolutionary new ingredient and Genucel's legendary base, shown to visibly reduce age spots, sunspots, and uneven tone for a brighter, more youthful look. You'll be amazed at how quickly you'll see results. And so then you can go and safely enjoy the summer sun without worrying about what it does to your skin. And you'll get guaranteed results or your money back, no questions asked. Right now, you can get your dark spot corrector with every Genucel complete skincare package for over 70% off, plus an extra discount automatically applied at checkout for world-class skincare that works, guaranteed, or your money back. You can order yours right now at genucel.com/redacted. One more time, that's genucel.com/redacted, and you'll get a free spa box with two bonus gifts and free shipping. So again, visit them, let them know that you've learned about them on Redacted. Support our show sponsors. That's a great way to support us. Go to genucel.com/redacted.
And thanks to all of you for subscribing. Thanks to the tens of thousands of you watching on Rumble. We love Rumble, the free speech platform, and YouTube as well. Good to see all of you, the 15,000 of you watching us on YouTube. Thank you for subscribing. Also, we should announce today that YouTube apparently relaxed some of their strict rules.
So they say.
Yeah, we got news reports today that YouTube is not going to like pull videos down and things like that if it violates or sort of goes against their narrative, so to speak. So now we're going to see.
I mean, that's how we came up with the show name, is because we were getting punished on these platforms for doing things like telling the truth about the history of the Ukrainian army or the vaccines. Clinical trials around certain vaccines. And when we showed those redacted information and documents, we got punished. So maybe everything's in the sunlight now. We don't even need to call ourselves redacted if YouTube's going to let us tell the truth. We'll see how that works out. Okay, let's go on. So stop me If you think you've heard this one before, President Trump was stern, reportedly stern, with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu in a call on Tuesday. He reportedly told him to permanently end the war in the Gaza Strip and that attacking Iran was off limits. But we've been through this before. I feel like this is Pavlovian, right? Every couple of weeks, we're like, oh, we're letting them do it. Oh, we're talking tough. Oh, no, we're going to let them. No, we're talking tough. President Trump, you know, he sends the arms anyway, tough talk or not, and then says he's a great friend of Israel, but then says the suffering of the people in Gaza has to stop, not acknowledging the cause of said suffering. And then Israel goes forward and does things like this, reportedly that they're close to attacking Iran, according to Israeli Channel 14. The U.S. tankers are passing the Persian Gulf, had been put on high alert. The U.S. ordering the evacuation of family members and non-essential personnel in certain embassies there and preparing the embassy in Iraq. We all know only Donald Trump can put a stop to Israel's attacks of Iran and the people in Palestine, in Gaza, but he hasn't had the appetite to do it. It won't stop until he actually stops the weapons, not just saying please to Netanyahu or getting nasty on the phone. Now he's also saying, he also said to Bret Baier that Iran is becoming much more aggressive in nuclear talks. That's what he told Fox News. And they're behaving differently. That's a quote. He says they're behaving much differently. The quote is, Iran is acting much differently in negotiations than it did just days ago. Who, again, is acting differently? Because when we began those talks, the U.S. explicitly said that it was okay with Iran having a civil nuclear program enriching uranium up to 3%. Just days later, when it became clear that Israel was not game for that, that their line in the sand was 0%, the U.S. said, sorry, 0%. We said 3 a few days ago. We meant 0. 3 meant 0. You get that math? 3 equals 0. So let's talk about who is behaving differently. Also, take a look at this mixed message. The president always says he supports a two-state solution, but now Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee is saying, we don't actually. He says Palestinians should just carve out a homeland out of Muslim country. They have a ton more land. Just go there. Just, they speak your language. The culture is similar. Get the heck out. Go. There's find somewhere else. Invade them, I guess, is what he's saying. And he confirmed that he said the U.S. no longer supports an independent Palestinian state. Now, Iran has said they will have a nuclear weapon. No, they did not say that. I'm sorry. Pretend I didn't say that. Iran has said it will have nuclear power for non-weapons purposes and that they have complied with the U.N. body, which is the International Atomic Energy Agency. That agency will vote on whether or not to declare that Iran is in violation of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, which is so weird. Why does this require a vote? I mean, either Iran is compliant or they're not. Making that decision based on a vote seems, dare I say it, political. It's like voting on the solution to a math problem. That's not how it works. Joining us to discuss is Dan McAdams. He's the executive director of the Ron Paul Institute. So, what do you think of all of these mixed messages? Does 2 + 2 = 4? Or we're not sure. What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you guys, this is a weird day, and I've been monitoring things in all the places I monitor, and on the heels of President Trump saying Iran is acting much differently, which, as you point out, came at the end after he had his discussion with Netanyahu, which we were led to believe was him getting tough with Netanyahu, but it doesn't sound that way. Acting much differently, they've held the same position since the very beginning, which is that we don't want a bomb. We're not building a bomb. The CIA says we're not building a bomb, but we do have the right to civilian nuclear energy. So where is the difference? Maybe they were rude. I don't know what. But there's something strange going on because as you pointed out, not only are there press reports that the American embassy in Iraq is being evacuated of all non-essential personnel, but every other military base in the region is being evacuated. There was a major hearing on Capitol Hill scheduled tomorrow with CENTCOM Director General Kirilla, which has been postponed. There are a number of other things, even down to intense GPS jamming by Iran over Iraq, that point to the fact that something may be brewing right now. It may be Israel going into Iran or attacking Iran on its own. It could be the U.S. and Israel together. I find that slightly hard to believe. Nevertheless, something is definitely now, maybe it's all a big psyop to get us all freaked out. You never know. But something big is happening within the last couple of hours, guys.
So you just gave me chills. And a lot of people in the chat room saying, let Israel deal with Iran. But it's not as simple as that, is it? Because letting Israel deal with Iran, we have over 50,000 American soldiers in that region who would be hit. And because those weapons that Israel's using, it's not as simple as, oh, Israel, just use your own weapons. These are American weapons that we know. And Tucker has confirmed that these weapons are also being sold off to China. And given to China. So not an ally of the United States, but letting Israel just deal with this is a huge problem for the U.S., no?
And also, don't forget, I mean, we just found out Netanyahu announced that they're actually supporting militias that are ISIS to fight against Hamas. So ISIS is also getting our weapons there. But I think one of the things possible triggers for this intense a period of activity right now in the area is that the defense minister of Iran announced, I believe it was yesterday or earlier today, that if Israel attacks Iran, Iran will attack every U.S. base in the region. Now, if you look at a map, there, you know, there's a lot of those maps saying, you know, here's Iran, and they put their country right in the middle of our bases. Each one of those bases, if you can count dozens of them. So if that's the case, obviously, because we saw what happened on October 1st of 24 when Iran retaliated against Israel when they took out that military base and the intel facility inside Israel. We saw the explosion. They clearly have the capability of doing this. So I think this trigger was the defense minister saying, we will hit these bases of the Americans. And as you pointed out, 50, I've heard as many as 80,000 American troops. What on God's earth would happen? Now, politics aside, but to America, if we lost 100, 1,000, maybe add a zero or two Americans in an instant because Israel decided it's better attack Iran now before the U.S. makes a deal, this is a disaster brewing.
I mean, you talk about a PSYOP. I'm sorry, you just got me thinking PSYOP, and I'm thinking now my brain goes down this rabbit hole because we've all been played so many times, whether it's the USS Liberty or the Gulf of Tonkin. We've all been played like pawns. You know it. We see all these protests across the United States. America's focused on all these protests right now. All these NGOs that are out in force right now, organizing everything, getting us all fired up for June 14th. Then you talk about the Middle East about to explode. Are we being duped right now? Like, look over here, don't look over here?
It's a great point. It's a great point. And it could very well be the case. You know, the next round of U.S.-Iranian talks is scheduled for Sunday. So if you want to do something to scuttle those or to get America's attention away from what's happening, you're right. I mean, and everyone is focused. You see the streets on fire. You see what personally pisses me off more than anything. You see the looting of all these stores, the destruction. It does tend to make Americans, obviously it should, it's closer to home. But that's a perfect time if you're devious, like certain leaders that we know in the Middle East. Right. If you're devious, you're going to take advantage of that. Boom.
Now, what do you think the reaction would be in America if Israel bombed Iran and that reverberated on American lives? Would people then support a war with Iran, or would they say, hey, Israel got us, you know,
attacked?
Yeah. I mean, Americans don't pay attention to the nuance enough.
Would we put yellow ribbons around our trees like the Gulf War and, you know, rally our support?
Totally. That's exactly. The media blitz would be unbelievable. You know, we would have to do some kind of something to funnel people over to the redacted so they get the truth. But man, the blitz is going to be crazy if a few Americans die over there. It's going to be crazy and everyone's going to want to go to war with Iran. But, you know, this is not Iraq in 2002. You know, Iran is a very, very different can of worms, very sophisticated, very large country, very complicated geography, and very sophisticated weapon system. This will be a disaster if it happens. And as you pointed out early on, Natalie, just as you pointed out early on, Trump could stop this. He could just be consistent and say, no, Bibi, I'm not going to be like Biden and be wishy-washy. Gosh, I wish you guys weren't doing that. It really upsets me. No, just say no, stop it. That would end it.
Yeah. You have a firm hand. Absolutely right. Now, Haaretz reported that Iranian media is going to release documents about Israel's nuclear program, which, you know, the United States politicians pretend they don't know about. And so could that actually scare us into reality? Because politicians know but try not to know. So would this force the world to know that this is actually dangerous? This is a nuclear. They are guilty of proliferation.
Actually, I was watching these things escalate today, and I was trying to think what are the multitude of factors that could be leading Israel to try to attack Iran, if that's indeed the case. And one of the ones I was thinking about is these documents. Apparently, we're talking multi-terabytes of information, and not just about Israel's nuclear program, but very specific geographic locations of very top-secret facilities in Iran, or in Israel. And if that is the case, maybe if they've just gotten these documents, have not had the opportunity to completely analyze them, maybe Israel feels like we have got to hit Iran now before they, you know, are really able to reconfigure their weapon systems to take out these places that they're now learning about. I don't know. It's just a speculation on my part.
Yeah. When I saw this, it was buried at the end of a Haaretz article. And I was like, wait, what? What, we're not being warned about this document release. That's being hidden from us in the West.
The mainstream media totally ignored this story. You had to literally find it on our sources on Telegram. I mean, it's buried.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a massive thread on X about, without going into very specifics, but in a general way, what kinds of information was intercepted. And it is incredible. The detail is incredible.
Well, it's worth remembering. I bring this up all the time. Mordecai Vanunu is an Israeli who blew the whistle in the 80s about the Israeli nuclear program, and they put him in prison for decades and tortured him, and he has requested asylum, and no Western country will take him because they don't want to piss off Israel. He is still an Israeli political prisoner. And so, I mean, it's worth knowing his name because he's been trying to warn us about this. Go ahead, Clayton.
No. I mean, Daniel, we'll just get you out of here on this because I know you've been watching this closely. When you say something big is happening right now in the Middle East, I mean, put on your speculation hat here. What do you think we're seeing? What do you think we're going to see maybe over the next few hours, next 24 hours?
Well, I hope it's a psyop, to be honest with you. But it looks to me like Israel wants to attack Iran, and they want to do it before this next round of talks on Sunday between the U.S. and Iran. They want to do it before some of this intel is used to counter Iran. And it looks at least to me like they want to do it quickly, and they feel confident that the U.S. Congress, which, by the way, the U.S. is not its first concern, it's a different country, that the U.S. Congress will pressure President Trump sufficiently to force the U.S. military to backstop Israel in this unprovoked attack on Iran.
Well, I don't like that, but hopefully we survive the weekend without that happening. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so. And I just, you know, I'm worried about this psychologically. Yeah, go ahead, Philip.
I just want to chime in. I have a quick question, but like, if that happens, if Israel like does attack Iran, like regionally, what happens? Like, does Pakistan get involved then? Like, because I mean, that's a nuclear country. Like how bad can this get, and how quickly? Yeah, Turkey, like in that region, like how bad could it get, and how quickly?
Very quickly, because if Iran targets all bases, it's going to be taking things out in Saudi Arabia. It's going to be taking out the oil fields in Saudi Arabia. We're going to be paying $15, $20, $30 a gallon for gasoline. It's going to tank the U.S. economy. It's going to throw the Sunni states into an absolute uproar. It's going to cause places like Lebanon to explode, Syria to explode. It's really, you know, this is a big can of gasoline, and Bibi is over there with this match lit, and he's trying to attach it to the gasoline.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That was cheerful. It's good to see you, Dan.
thank you, Daniel. Great to
Happy
see
Father's
you.
Day, Clayton. Hopefully yeah. We both survive to see Father's Day this year.
Hopefully my Father's Day barbecue. Yeah.
It's not nuclear.
Eating irradiated meat or something. My God. Daniel, great to see you. Thank you so much, though. But, you know, look, we've got to tell the truth here. Thanks, Daniel, from the Ron
Take
Paul
care,
Institute,
guys.
As always. And I mean, you know, of course, you know, what the Ron Paul Institute preaches and what one of our heroes here on the show, Congressman Ron Paul, preaches is non-interventionism, you know,
yes.
And it used to be like isolationism. I mean, literally, George Washington in his farewell address talked about this, that we should not involve ourselves in the affairs of foreign countries and other countries. And what are we doing?
Yeah.
We, you know, we're literally in the middle of it with 50,000 Americans as sitting ducks right now.
Look, the Pauls have earned their I told you so's. So yeah. Maybe we can listen this time. How about that?
Yeah, it'd be nice.
That would be a winning strategy. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about how RFK Jr. has fired every single member of the CDC's Vaccine Advisory Board. And it's awesome, but we're going to show you how the mainstream media is trying to scare you about it because they care more about Big Pharma than you. So we'll get to that in a second.
We will indeed. We are going to do that. But first, a close friend of ours just saved tens of thousands of dollars on Medicare. And I want you to know how exactly they did it so you can do it, too. And the best part is it's free. Yes, it's a free resource. OK, so Medicare enrollment is complicated. It's no accident. The more confused you are, the easier it is for big insurance to steer you into overpriced plans that make them more money. Well, Trump's Department of Justice just sued three of the biggest brokers in America for allegedly doing exactly that. It's disgusting, but there is a way to fight back, and that's where Chapter comes in. They're an honest company. They're independent, and Chapter's licensed advisors search every single Medicare plan out there to find what's best for you. They go through thousands of them. Did you know that there are tens of thousands of Medicare plans? They help you find the best one. Our friend made one simple 30-minute phone call with Chapter, and now he's saving tens of thousands of dollars going forward. The call is 100% free. There's no pressure, just real, honest help. The average person saves $1,100 just working with Chapter. So if you're turning 65 or you already are on Medicare, call the number on your screen. It's 202-655-5811. Or go to askchapter.org. That's .org, not .com. It's askchapter.org/redacted. Again, it's free. It's a free resource, okay? If they work with you, the insurance companies, that's how they get paid. So you don't have to pay a penny. They will help you get the best Medicare plan out there. So they're a fantastic company. Awesome American company. All right.
Well, RFK Jr. just fired every single member of the CDC's Vaccine Advisory Board. And if you understand how rigged their trials have been for decades, you will understand why. The media is not telling you this. They're saying, oh, it's so dangerous that he just fired this board. But let's take a look at what they've been doing all these years. And you'll ask yourself, why haven't they run clinical trials? I'm going to show you why. Why has the media been pretending that they do? As if they don't care, as if they really want to protect Big Pharma and not their own readers. That's weird, right? So here is Secretary Kennedy's announcement that he just retired all 17 members of the ACIP. This is the board that is responsible for adding new vaccines to the recommended schedule. Now, he is accusing them of what he calls malevolent malpractice, and I'm going to prove to you that he's right. The main reason for the house cleaning, according to Kennedy, is their stubborn unwillingness to demand adequate safety trials before recommending new vaccines to our children. And here is where he says that today a compliant child receives between 69 and 92 routine vaccines through conception to the age of 18. That's up by 11 shots since 1986. And each of them has been approved without requiring placebo-controlled trials. He is absolutely right about that. And the media is trying to pretend that that's not true. I'm going to show you exactly how the media protects vaccine makers. And absolutely, they lie to you. And your hatred for them should grow. I'm not telling you how to feel, but I'm telling you that's an appropriate way to feel. CNN tried to purposely confuse its audience about this in an attack on this move in RFK Jr. They admit here that out of 258 vaccine trials, only 127 used inert placebo. That means like a sugar pill or saline solution or something like that. It's a shot without any active ingredients. The rest used other vaccines. That means they're trying something like a flu shot and they'll try it against a different flu shot. Instead of acknowledging that this proves RFK Jr. right, they point out the rarity of true placebo trials, spinning it as if the volume of any trial somehow debunks the concern. They essentially redefine placebo to include active ingredients, which is not what a placebo is. Here's the nuance to understand. Vaccine makers and doctors might say they have to skip a true placebo. They can't give the control group nothing because if, for instance, that vaccine has some kind of benefit, they can't deny it to the placebo group, right? So they're saying in their way, withholding a potential benefit vaccine is wrong. So instead of comparing a vaccine to a group that gets nothing, they compare it to an older version of the vaccine. So let's take, for instance, GlaxoSmithKline's DTaP vaccine. It covers 5 different diseases and the label boasts 14 clinical trials, but every one of those trials, the control group didn't get a placebo. They got other vaccines with something added, such as polio or hepatitis B or some combo shot. Wait. So the vaccine was only tested against other vaccines, not true blank slate. That's not safety science. That's marketing. Go ahead, Philip.
It was David.
Well, there is a medical ethics that they are bastardizing here. Because if you have your two control groups, one on placebo and one on the active ingredient, there comes a threshold when the vaccine, like if they're making a vaccine and it's showing the like great result, then it becomes unethical to continue people on the placebo. However, yes, if you don't have that initial, if you're not comparing it to anything, like this is just like a bastardization of medical ethics, of the ethics on this.
Thank you for pointing that out. That's exactly what it is. What it is also is a purposeful burying of side effects. Now, this is something I learned from the fantastic book, Turtles All the Way Down. Absolutely think everyone should read this book. They say it's not an accident because using a fake placebo is how the vaccine makers can bury harms. Because if both groups are suffering a side effects, the data looks clean. It's a statistical camouflage. Here's how they pointed out, and I had to scan the book because I don't have a digital copy. What they're saying is that how vaccine trials test new vaccines against older vaccines can cause similar side effects. So if you're worried that your new expensive vaccine has a bad side effects, you don't want to admit it. So you test it against something you think will cause the same level of side effects. So let's say your vaccine causes hives or myocarditis, but it doesn't cause it more than the one in the placebo, then you don't have to admit that. This creates what looks like a safe profile because the adverse events in the control group are the same as the placebo. So you can say, like, no increased risk of myocarditis, no increased risk of hives or whatever, and that cycle continues. So, and then when the next vaccine is issued, it's not tested against a placebo. You never observe this. You're only testing it against last year's. That's how the flu vaccine is tested. And in fact, that's how every vaccine is tested, except for the COVID vaccine, which was tested against a true saline placebo. Now, this means that when vaccine makers report that their product is X% effective against whatever, they're only saying it's X% more than the group that got something similar, not people who received no vaccine at all. So why wouldn't CNN want you to understand that? You would think they would care more about you, their reader, their audience, than the vaccine makers, right? Not only that, they went on to pretend that this is not true. This is the nuance they are refusing to report to you. Additionally, this is something else they won't tell you. The vaccines on the vaccine schedule have never been tested together. They have no idea how they work together. So I may give you a DTaP and a whatever, HPV vaccine in the same day. Never has there been any trials to test how they work together. We just mix and match. We don't, like, you know how you're not supposed to take a Sudafed with a NyQuil? You know, they have some data on that. Vaccines, they don't know. They're trying not to know purposely. So that's the data they don't want you to know. Secretary Kennedy says he will announce new ACIP members in the coming days. He says they will not be ideological anti-vaxxers, but highly credentialed physicians and scientists who make extremely consequential public health determinations by applying evidence-based decision-making with objectivity and common sense. I mean, what could be worse than what they have now? Now, CNN saying, oh my God, he replaced them so fast. This is so dangerous. We don't know what these new people are going to be like. They haven't been vetted. But look at what the people on that board have been doing. they're dangerous. So I'm asking you to answer this question. Who's dangerous here? And who's really been playing with your child's health?
Well, I mean, CNN is focused on power. They don't care about your family's health at all. Of course, they're making money off of Pfizer and these other, you know, brought to you by Pfizer, you know, and all of that.
Yeah.
And also, these guys don't get to scream like, trust the science, when they won't actually do the science.
Well, I just showed you exactly how the science is done, and it's bullshit. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't mourn the unemployment of those 17 people if that's how they've been doing it all along.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let us know your thoughts on that. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about these. If liberals, if you could sum up why Democrats lost the last election in one video, I think this next video that we're about to show you, I think sums it up perfectly. And it's deeply troubling, and we're going to unpack it a little bit here. It's gone viral this afternoon. We're going to talk about that. But first, let's talk about gold. Holy smokes, hitting new all-time highs. Again, silver is having its moment. I love buying silver. We just bought actually more silver in our self-directed IRAs just recently because we know, personally, we believe that silver is going to skyrocket. That's our personal belief. You guys do you, but all the indicators are there, both as a commodity and, of course, as a precious metal, both a commodity and being used in as a currency. So silver skyrocketing right now. It's still about, I don't know, 40% below its all-time high, but way, way cheaper when you consider it compared to gold, which is over $3,300 an ounce right now. Goldman Sachs predicting that gold will go over $4,500 an ounce. What's behind this historic move? Global currencies faltering. Big money is in a big panic. And if we slip into a civil war, or for crying out loud, whatever happens in the Middle East this weekend, before these nuclear talks with Iran, all hell is going to break loose. And you can expect once again for gold and silver to go up because government currencies always collapse. That's why our friends at Lear Capital are such a trusted partner of us. I want you to give them a call today. Write this number down and just have a conversation with them. There's no pressure at all. They are an American company. They are an education company first. So just have a conversation with them. Like, hey, we've got a few thousand dollars in our savings. We're thinking about converting it over to gold or silver. How do we do that? And they'll just walk you through the process. They'll even send you a free gold guide, precious metals guide. Let me see if I have it right here in the studio. I do. Just give me a second. Let me reach for it. And it's just a folder, and it has all the information you need. It's free. So you can just read it with your spouse, your loved one, go over it in your house, over the dinner table, after dinner. Just have a discussion with it. Your guide to adding gold and silver to your portfolio. Lear Capital will help you do it. You can have it shipped right to your house, so you can store it in your gun safe, gold coins, silver coins, whatever you want to do, or offsite in a storage facility that's guarded 24/7. And then if you need to sell it, in fact, we're moving some stuff around in our accounts with our IRA, and we actually had to sell off some of our metals in order to move it over to another account. And the team at Lear helped us do it. They're like, two people email back. They're like, we got you. We'll take care of it for you. Everything you need to do, they will take care of. They're an amazing team. So go to Lear Redacted right now, learredacted.com right now, or call 1-800-613-3557 for your free guide. They're a great, great company. We love working with them. All right. Well, if you want to know why Democrats lost the last election, I think you don't need to look any further than this video, which is now going viral today out of New York City. White hippie liberals blocking traffic to protest the arrest of illegal immigrants, many of them with criminal records, protesting the ICE raids that have been happening in New York City, blocking New Yorkers from going to work or people with, you know, that have kids in the car trying to get home from daycare, whatever it is. Your lives are not as important as the illegal immigrants. Watch these white hippies block a black woman on her way to work, and she can't get to work because I guess these people don't even work at all. Watch. And listen to this white lady just lecturing her.
How do you as white people feel about stopping a black woman from going to work?
Oh no, not work. I care so much.
So you don't care about stopping black people from going to work?
Look at this line that you guys are causing. I'm not causing no problems. I'm not trying to. We're just trying to leave.
Sorry. And he just laughs. Oh, work? He's like, yeah. He's like, I haven't worked in 10 years. He's like,
that
work?
Must be tough to have to do that.
I just spent all my day with my ponytail and drinking these sports drinks in a. He's got a koozie. He literally has like a sports drink koozie while
you
he's
need
standing
that
there.
When you're going to protest, when go he's ahead, out in Philip. The sun.
Go ahead, Philip.
I'm just saying, like, how self-important can you be? Like, that is like the definition of like grandstanding, where it's like. It's he's not making like, you know, if he feels that strongly about the ICE protest, I mean, do that. But like he's not doing it because he like to benefit like immigrants. He's doing it to look good. It makes
yeah,
him feel
no,
good. Yes. To be.
They have ranked global tragedies. This woman ranks low. So piss off, lady. We got to be out here protesting for something we think is more important than you.
Oh, what do you mean? Like, so you mean liberals have ranked global tragedies?
Yeah, and they, yeah, so, we, you know, ICE kids are here. You are here. Your need to support your child is here. So, sorry, you're not going to get to, she literally says, yeah, for today, you're not going to be able to support your kid. Sorry.
Yeah, Black Lives Matter is so 2023, isn't it?
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah, we've really forgotten that's amazing.
I can be a vegetarian. I'm not, but I could become a vegetarian. That doesn't mean I have to go to my neighbors and throw away their steaks. Like,
yes,
if
does.
You feel that strongly exactly. about something, you can do it in a way that doesn't screw over other people.
Right.
Yeah.
We see this all the time with these environmental protests. Like, you know, people are on their way to work. They shut down. They shut down the subway. So people are trying to go to work. They're literally hurting the very people that they hope would support their cause. The people that rely on public transportation, you know, the public roads to get to work. I love that this white woman was like lecturing her too. She's like, no, I know you've got kids, but today it's not about your kids. It's about their, it's the illegal immigrants' kids who are being moved out of the United States. It's your kids don't matter today. Let's watch it again. Let's if we can re-rack
that up. And my favorite part when he says, oh no, work. He thinks he's going to like have a relating moment to her. Like, you don't want to go to work, right? And her face is like,
like, really?
Like,
I work for a living.
Get away from me. We are not the same.
I have a kid. And these people are having their children taken. What about my kids? Why didn't they die today? Then what happens to my kids? I can't help it. But you can if you could just move off the way.
You're not going to.
How is this a peaceful protest if there's nothing to do? No, it's not.
How do y'all as white people feel about stopping a black woman from going to work?
Oh, no, not work. I care so much.
So you don't care about stopping black people from going to work?
Look at this line that you guys are causing. I'm not causing no problems. I'm not trying to. We're just trying to leave.
Jeez.
Didn't liberals impeach Chris Christie for stopping traffic? Or it was the impetus for the Bridgegate scandal. Was he wasn't impeached, but they tried to oust him because they said when you stop the flow of traffic, people can die. Women can go into labor, people can't get in an ambulance. Liberals were very serious about that when it was Chris Christie who stopped bridge traffic, right?
And, yeah. And
but no, not if we decide that we've gotta come out here and grandstand.
This is on par with like throwing orange paint on a Van Gogh. Like what yeah. are you, like, who are you angry at? What are you trying to fix? I mean, I remember like on a college campus at one point, like it was normal. It was like a group that they wanted to legalize like marijuana. I'm like, okay. And so I was like, well, what do you guys do? And they're like, well, we raise awareness. And I was like, and then what? He's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, let's say you raise awareness. Like, what are you doing? So they're like, what is this guy doing? What are these people doing? They're like, who are they mad at? Are they mad at commuters? Are they mad at just genuine like people living their lives? Like if
yeah,
you're going to protest,
like
I'm fine with protest. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, but go protest the people you're mad at. Don't protest right. everybody.
Yeah.
And I love the printed out signs. I don't know if you saw the guy behind the guy in the green, there was a guy behind him holding up an ICE sign and it was a printed out glossy sign. It said ICE out of New York City in the background of it. And it's like printed out with like a New York Mets logo on it, like professionally done behind this guy. Yeah.
Did they get it from Ryan Reynolds?
Maybe. Yeah, look, see if they pans over. Someone in the chat room, by the way, says that's a beer the guy's drinking. I don't know. I don't know beer well enough to know that, like, the top of a can, you can tell that that's a specific beer. But someone's got an eye for that. They're like, I know that brand. That's Hops Nest Brewery or something. You know. But look at these signs right here. Ready? And see that guy right there with that New York sign? All these, yeah. like, printed out signs. You'll see it again here in a second. These are all, like, Someone funded that ICE out of New York City. See, it's all like nice printed out signs.
Maybe they sent PDFs and like you print it yourself, and show up.
You're giving them the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. Anyway, but I think it sums it up. If you want to see exactly why liberals lost the last election and why CNN literally over the past 24 hours just ran a whole report about poll numbers, how I think it was 4 years ago, Democrats had a 38-point lead, 28 or 38-point lead. On the question of immigration in the United States. Now, Republicans have an 8-point lead, a massive swing. So the very people that you had had hoped to bring into your net, into the liberal voting sphere, this woman trying to get to work, a hardworking American trying to get to work to support her family, you're telling her that her life doesn't matter as much as the illegal immigrants who are here and are being rounded up by ICE right now, many of whom have criminal records. So you want to know why you lost an election.
I mean, you guys, this is the losing game of ranking global tragedies. Who's the worst off? Which group are we giving land to? Does Mexico need California back? You will not win. The only thing you can do productive is go to work, be a good person, don't parrot stupid shit, right? Raise your family well. Don't go ranking tragedies and then decide who can suffer and who can't.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Go chasing waterfalls is better.
Exactly.
Hey, we have a daily newsletter. I would love for you all to subscribe. You know, hopefully you subscribe to the channel. It's a free channel here to follow us on Rumble and subscribe or YouTube. But also we have a newsletter. And all you need to do is go to redacted.inc. And you click on join the newsletter. You'll receive a welcome email from me, which is just clayton@redacted.inc. It might go to your spam filter or your junk folder. Look for it, and you need to click on that link to confirm that, yes, you do want to subscribe. Again, it's free. We don't sell your information or do anything like that. We just publish a newsletter first thing in the morning so you can read it over your cup of coffee. We try to cover stories you might have missed that are big, that the mainstream media will ignore. If you're using Gmail, they label our newsletter as dangerous, so they might send you a warning that, hey, if you're signing up for the Redacted newsletter, this information is not CNN approved. It's dangerous. So just be aware that you might receive a dangerous warning. We get people tell us all the time, Gmail told us your newsletter's dangerous. All right, that's dangerous. Anyway, redacted.inc is the place to go.
Well, our topics today were dangerous, but we're done with it. We got through it. We are informed citizens. Thank you for staying with us. We really appreciate you being here. We will not have a live show tomorrow on Thursday, but we'll be back next week with our regularly scheduled program. We will have the newsletter tomorrow. I will get on that, I promise. So make sure you like and share these videos. I know that a lot of these topics are being suppressed. Even though YouTube has said they've relaxed their guidelines, they still don't love this. But hey, we have to be truth tellers. Stick with us. We will see you next week, everybody. Thank you so much for being here.